Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Alex Trebek. Rest in peace. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again in slightly hopeful land for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, November 8th, 2020, and I think we all need something special right now. So here it is, a treat for your ears. Sam Levine and Jeff Tate are here to go head-to-head in the OG Leonard Maltin game. Hello, fellas.
Hello, Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, with two guests, it's easier to everybody just take turns talking. But let's meet you guys individually, starting with Sam the Man Levine, a.k.a. Other Things. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I like you, M. Bum, today. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek, the greatest there may ever be in that line of work.
Did you ever meet him?
I did. I met Alex many times. I used to play poker with him.
What?
What?
Yeah. And he was wonderful. He was had one of the driest wits of anyone out there. And he, you know, he'd had a lot of health problems the last 10, 15 years of his life. So it always kind of the sour but very humorous way he dealt with it was quite something. And he was one of a kind, and I'm going to miss him terribly.
You know, I was there at the taping. I got to go watch Ken Jennings become the GOAT. And, you know, Alex was already, obviously, this was like last December. So he's already had been dealing with the whole, you know, cancer treatments and stuff. And, man, he was still at, you know, I guess he was probably 79 or 80 at the time. He's 80 now when he passed away. Just like so sharp and so good at the job. And then also, like you said, just witty and quick when he was like, chatting with the audience in between rounds and stuff. And he really kind of reminded me a little bit of like, remember when Warren Zevon knew that he was didn't have much time left because of cancer. Yeah. And he just said, well, I'm eating bacon at every meal. I don't fuck it. You know, like, and I feel like, Alex had a similar attitude. The fact that, you know, he was probably taping episodes of the show 2 days ago, right?
He was. Yeah. They said his last tape day was like the very end of October. So, I mean, talk about you know, just absolutely doing, going out the way he wanted to pretty much till the end. And that's the best you can really hope for anybody. You go out to
yeah.
for love.
And he also got to see the results yesterday. Finally, you know, it's almost like maybe he was waiting for that.
I think a lot of people were hanging on for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for being here today, Sam.
My pleasure.
On a sad, happy day, depending on mm-hmm. whether you're talking politics or game shows. Mm-hmm. Also joining us today is Jeff Tate. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I never.
All right. Enough politics. You never what?
I never met Alex Trebek. I've never played poker.
I didn't meet him either at that. When I went to the taping, you know, he wasn't coming out and meeting each individual audience member. So, but we did get to run around on the set after Ken was declared GOAT because we were there. We were like there as Ken's friends. So like, I posted him on Twitter today, a bunch of pictures of me standing behind the podium and stuff. But I didn't take a picture of myself in Alex's spot. And I'm glad I didn't now because, you know, that's his spot. What?
I said, yeah, that's sacred.
I mean, my girlfriend did, though. So.
Bella haunting.
But she, you know, she was very, you know, respectful about posting it today. I think it's even a black and white shot to, you know, class it up. What was I going to say? Oh, Jeff. Playing poker with Alex Trebek. I'm not really talking to you, Jeff. Sam, let's go back to you. Yeah. was he good at poker?
He was. I mean, he's a very smart guy, so it's not a big leap to say he'd probably be a decent poker player. In fairness, that particular game we were playing was much more about the camaraderie and the fun. It was a very low stakes game. We just played 7-card stud. So, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of expert level pokering going on. It was mostly just, you know, just for funsies.
I think he wouldn't be good at Jeopardy as a contestant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he knows a lot about certain things, but I don't think he's like general knowledge like the contestants are.
No, and even if he would know a thing, I don't know that he'd be able to have that kind of immediate recall that you need to be a good Jeopardy contestant.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't played Celebrity Jeopardy, have you?
I've not. I would love to, but apparently you have to be kind of recognizable to most people.
Well, I know. If you just shave your beard, people will be, oh, it's the kid from TV.
Right.
Because you know how beards are such a great disguise in movies and television. But yeah, I would like to see that happen. So I'll start a petition or something.
Okay. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
I mean, now is especially a good time to talk about who should be on Jeopardy when the host just died.
Yeah.
What about, would you host Jeopardy if they asked you to?
In a heartbeat, I would.
That question was for Jeff.
Oh, fair enough.
In a heartbeat.
We thought, Jeff and I were talking this morning and I said something about how I had heard that Alex actually suggested that the next host of Jeopardy should be a woman.
Oh.
Yeah, he said that somewhere. So we're going to hold him to that.
I'm certainly not averse to it, although I think the fact that friend of DLM, Ken Jennings, came on to Jeopardy as a consulting producer about a year ago or so certainly would lend itself to suggesting that possibly they were eyeing Ken to take over the mantle.
Yeah, it's just definitely a step in that direction. And he, I think he'd be great at it, but I also think then the world would lose a great contestant because I still would like to see him just show off his brain rather than just be the host reading everything off of a piece of paper.
You know what? Another good argument for me. I don't need to use my brain. let me just read off the cards.
I suggest it should be Ken Jennings hosts it, but does not have cards. We just have to take his word for it.
Oh yeah,
he's memorized all the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of like me when we play Last Person Standing. We just have to work our way through it. But yeah. It's weird timing that they announced that that Ken Jennings and the other two guys that were in the Greatest of All Time tournament, the three of them are going to be on a new version of The Chase, that show where one guy knows all the answers and goes up against regular people. Mm-hmm. That was going to, I think it's going to be on ABC. So that's, you know, I mean, not that he couldn't handle both jobs if they wanted him to host Jeopardy, but it's, you know, he's already got a gig. Yep. Let's look at the box office, you guys, real quick. There's an actual box office report at Mojo.com. Every box office Mojo, every weekend, they still are, you know, tallying it up based on drive-ins and the limited capacity theaters that are open. Do either of you happen to know what the number one movie in the country is right now?
I do. Oh damn, if I can remember the title. I know it's that Kevin Costner, Diane Lane movie. Is it called like Let Him Go?
Where did you see that that's number one? Because I've got a different answer.
Oh, okay. I think I saw that on Deadline that said it was number one at the box office for two weekends in a row, which hadn't happened in a long time, but I didn't click the article, so maybe it just charted.
Yeah, that article's full of nonsense because New Mutants and Tenet and like a couple different movies have been number one for several weeks, more than two.
So because they haven't been unseated Tenet at one point
because they haven't been releasing anything anyway. I mean, you know, it's all like it's nickels and dimes. The box office report, like the Tenet this last weekend, I think made a few hundred thousand dollars here in the United States, and it just crossed $350 million worldwide. Wow. So much for theaters in other countries being closed. but number one, according to my source, is The War with Grandpa, which is not a documentary about the election. Grandpa versus Grandpa. which I guess none of us maybe will ever see because we still want to respect Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken.
And Robert De Niro, they're both in that?
Yeah, that's why it's number one at the box office.
Is this a sequel to Dirty Grandpa?
No, it's not. I think, I think once he did two movies with Fockers in the title, De Niro thought, I'm just going to do as many doubles on titles as I can get in my filmography. That's why his next film coming up is called The Luck of the Irish.
Oh, it really should be The Luck of the Irish Grandpa. Come on.
Oh, he doesn't need three grandpas in his filmography.
The Grandfather Part 2.
What Purple Rain Man title was I able to put together with two different De Niro movies? Oh, Falling in Love Something. Damn it. What was that other title, Jeff?
I can't remember, man. Sometimes we do three a day.
That's true. All right. So enough box office report. Let's get into recommendations. If each of you could recommend one movie to watch in this weird, happy, sad, scary time that we're in, what would it be? Hmm. Oh, wow. Jeff likes White Men Can't Jump because it has a lot of Jeopardy in it.
It's probably
I was going to say, yeah, you get some Trebek in there.
It's outside of that Cheers episode. It's my favorite thing Trebek was in. It's my favorite movie that Jeopardy is a part of.
Do they show more Jeopardy in that movie than they do on that episode of Cheers?
They probably show more on that episode of Cheers.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, you get a little like there's definitely more like back and forth. He like in the White Man Can't Jump, it's like a montage of her just answering questions, like her just saying, "What is Keats? What is?"
Oh, right. And what about the Cheers episode?
What is the quinth? What is the quail? What is the quahog? What is the quiche?
In thanks, Sam. In In Cheers, they just watch it in the bar. You don't. They don't actually have scenes of anyone at Jeopardy.
Woody went to Jeopardy twice. Woody and Norm went to go to Jeopardy to watch Cliff, and then Woody is in the audience for Rosie Perez as well. So,
wow.
What? I like that Woody, not the character he played, yeah, but Woody Harrelson went to Jeopardy twice.
Well, you know, what was his name on Cheers?
Woody Boyd.
And Billy Woody. Boyle. It was Woody, yeah.
It was
Woody. But his name wasn't Woody and White Men Can't Jump. It was like,
no, it was Billy Hoyle.
Stupid face. What?
Billy Hoyle.
Really?
That's right, Billy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, Woody Boyd and Billy Hoyle.
oh, yeah.
All right, so can you recommend a movie, Sam? Have you seen something lately that you liked?
Yes, Groundhog Day. Alex Trebek is also in that, featuring a Jeopardy scene.
Wow. Way to stick on theme.
You know, I try.
That is a great movie, though.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a movie today that I would recommend. There's no Jeopardy in it, but...
Okay.
I just watch it.
Yeah, I was just saying, I was just making conversation. I'd still need you to recommend something.
All right, so here is the movie.
Because nobody in their right mind would recommend White Man Can't Jump.
All right, so check this out, guys. I watched Memories of Murder. It's finally, like, it got its release.
Oh,
like,
it's Bong Joon-ho or Jun Bong-ho?
Yeah, yeah. It got, it didn't have a distributor, an American distributor, and then after the success of Parasite, Neon did. It was supposed to have a theatrical release in like April or May, but of course that didn't happen. And now it's out to rent on all the streamers. I rented it on iTunes and it was really good. It was amazing. I liked it.
Memories of Murder?
Yeah, it's bleak. It's a little bleak. I mean, it's not gonna make you happy if you're not like, if you need something that's uplifting, I could go some other direction with this, but it was really
Well, they can watch Memories of Murder and then Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
If they need to snap out of the bleakness.
It stars the same guy, Song Kang-ho, as Parasite. It's a really really good drama. It's about detectives trying to find South Korea's first serial killer.
But which name is he going by officially now? Jun Ho Bong or Bong Jun Ho?
I think it's just the difference in how, like, where English and Korean put their last names. Like, his, like, surname is Bong. And so that should be, like, if they switch it, it'd be Jun Ho Bong in Korea, but here it's Bong Jun Ho.
Wow. That's tricky.
You been to Korea, Jeff?
No. I'm just trying to figure out a pattern because of, like, why Yao Ming's name said Yao on his jersey and Ichiro Suzuki said Ichiro on his jersey. Good question. I know that's not Korea, but.
All right. Memories of Murder on all the streams and Groundhog Day where, you know, wherever Groundhog Days are sold. Wherever Groundhog Days are celebrated.
Yeah.
That was somewhere recently. Oh, I was watching 25 Words or Less. You'll enjoy this, Sam. And Mary McConnell, when told, you know, the clue was Punxsutawney Phil, and she made a face like the words that have never been uttered in her presence her entire life and insisted she never knew that the groundhog is named Punxsutawney Phil.
Wow.
I knew you'd really be shocked.
I am shocked. I mean, that's an enormous piece of Americana, the movie Groundhog Day. It actually came up recently on Jeopardy, and I was so thrilled that Alex didn't give the person credit because the person mistakenly said Groundhog's Day.
Right.
As so many people incorrectly say. And, you know, no one in real life is like, hey, it's Groundhog Day, even though in my brain I want to. But I don't. I bite my tongue every time. So I was very happy to see Alex say, nope. And then somebody rang and was like, Groundhog Day. And I was like, yeah, it's an S, dummy.
That's always
not a day celebrating all the groundhogs.
That's always satisfying because I, you know, people get on me about the exact titles in my movie games, but it's just like, well, that's the answer. If you're just going to take something that's close, then that's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slippery like slopes.
Yeah.
Another All right, guys. Me,
well, I was going to say Nordstrom's. When people add the S to Nordstrom's, bothers me as well.
Oh, dude, I could make a list of the things that people add S's to or take S's off of. I used to really care a lot about when people would say James Wood, but now I just walk away.
You would.
There's no reason to discuss him at all.
I had lunch today at Arby.
Nobody does that.
Yeah,
I mean, people have lunch at Arby's, but nobody just calls it Arby. I don't think.
Yeah. I bought my nephew some gifts at Toys R U.
Toys R him. Toys R me and him.
Did you have to grab some money at the ATM machine?
At the banks.
The banks of the River Thames. All right, let's start today. Enough laughter. This is serious.
Very serious.
Are you guys familiar with the new game on the show called Weird Algorithm?
Remind me, please. I think I played it once.
I think Jeff has too, right?
I definitely laugh real. I remember you telling me the name of it.
That's why you didn't laugh at it today, because you already knew it. good old Internet Movie Database, or, you know, database, if you're a Star Trek fan. They have a thing now where you can click on the cast list of anything, and they will rearrange the order. They'll refine the order by popularity according to IMDb. So what this game is basically I'll name a movie and then each of you get one guess. You can share the same answer. You can discuss why you've chosen your answer, but you each have to pick somebody from that film that you think would end up top billed according to the popularity index.
Okay.
It's hard to predict, which is part of the fun. I've been playing it lately because when guests come on that aren't good at movie trivia, they could still win this game.
Okay.
3 points for when you get one that's the top build person, 2 points for second build, and 1 point for third. No points for naming other people that are in the movie. And we generally, we always go alphabetically at first. You know, in our first game, since we can't play something like Live, Die, Repeat, you know, over Zoom, it's weird to play games where people are yelling out answers at the same time. It's too muddied. All right, here we go. The first film we're going to play today is The Social Network. Sort of topical because comes up all the time how horrible Facebook is, what it's doing to this country. But who do you think in that movie is the most popular as of, I think I looked this up a day or two ago.
Who's going first?
You are, Sam. Levine comes before Tate.
Oh, we're going surname. I didn't know. We're going to go by Korean rules.
Yeah, if it was the first name, then yes, it would be Jeff.
Okay.
But I don't recall ever anywhere things being alphabetized by people's first names, but I'm sure you have an example.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I have no such example. I don't know. You mix it up sometimes. It's an enormous cast. It could go any which way. So I will go out on a limb and say Justin Timberlake.
All right. You don't have to necessarily lock in your answer until you hear what Jeff wants to go with.
Oh, I can change my answer.
Oh, yeah. It's very casual, but then eventually you got to lock in. And just for strategy, sake, you want to say that a different name than the other person says, you know, if you
got it. Okay.
I'm going to say because she had a movie that recently came out, I think this week, Rashida Jones.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, right. Because popularity is an all ever changing thing on the I am Doug Benson.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that Sam, it's I am Doug Benson's.
Excuse me. Ooh. So then, strategically, I think I should also say Rashida Jones, right?
No, strategically, right. then you'd end up in a tie. Obviously, strategy is to win, but if you want to, you know, try to save yourself this round, you can. You can say the thing.
She's probably number one. Because I think Jeff's right on the money with the she's got a movie that just came out, so she's probably high up on the list. So I will change my answer to Rashida Jones.
All right. Jeff, are you locked in with Rashida?
Oh, man, this will be a fun time to change it to Justin Timberlake.
You monster. If that's number one, I am flipping my computer over and leaving.
I mean, I really think it's Rashida Jones. So I'm going to lock in Rashida Jones as well.
Okay. This is shocking, but I wrote down the top four, and Timberlake didn't even make that cut.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel better already.
That's how weird this shit is. Coming in at number four, someone who only has one scene in the movie, but it is with Justin Timberlake, Dakota Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, cameos can just fuck with you on this game.
Yeah.
Or early appearances, you know, when we didn't know who she was yet, really. I didn't right. when I saw that movie. Right. Coming in at number three, this is another thing that'll mess you up. Sometimes the screenwriter gets a dumb little part in the movie. And then years later, he makes The Trial of Chicago 7, so he becomes very popular. Number three is Aaron Sorkin. He plays he's an ad executive. Right. He's in that scene where Zuckerberg's just sitting there making clicking noises. Yeah.
What is he doing? Is that a clicking noise? And then he tries to spell it or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's just sitting there going.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny that in the movie he wrote and the scene he's in, they're not walking and talking.
They're sitting and clucking. And then at number two, so you each get 2 points, Rashida Jones.
Yay! We did
now,
it.
Now here's a fun game. Guess who's number one?
Armie Hammer.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Correct.
It's oh wow.
Armie Hammer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Death on the Nile is coming out soon.
Is or that it why?
Got, it I don't got think moved or why. Something.
I don't think that's why. There's more famous people in Death on the Nile than him.
But are they also in The Social Network?
No.
Right, I don't know. I mean,
but I'm telling you, he's popular. He's very popular on IMDb right now for some reason, and I forget what it was, but there's something that just happened. Two of them. That's why. No, you got to forget about Social Network. That was made years ago. This is who's popular today. That's why Timberlake didn't make the cut. What's he doing today?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Just sitting around. Who's he married to?
Jessica
Biel.
Jessica Biel?
Yeah. She's a sinner.
Is she?
Well, yeah, that's basically what Seventh Heaven was about.
That is crazy that she's probably only done 2 TV series in her life, and they're Seventh Heaven and The Sinner. That seems like she planned that.
Yeah.
All right, round two. The holidays are almost here. I've seen ads on TV for it already. So we've got to get into some holiday movies. So let's start with the big one. Love, Actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Jeff, you get to go.
Enormous cast, Doug.
Jeff gets to go first this time. It's not going to be small cast. We're not going to play Frost Nixon.
Right? That's Frangelina. Everybody knows.
But that's also a holiday movie.
Frangelina every time.
Because it's Frost and then a reindeer.
All right. So in Love Actually, I'm going to guess, again, following the same logic as Rashida Jones, there's that new show on HBO. So mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Hugh Grant.
That is exactly what I would have said, Geoffrey Tate. Doesn't Liam Neeson's have a new thing?
Yes, Liam Neeson's does have a new thing.
Ooh, yeah, it's called Honest.
Switch it up.
It's called Honest Thief, and by according to Box Office Mojo, it was number two at the box office this last weekend.
Oh wow!
Oh, damn.
All right, well then you know what? To change it up, I'm going to say Liam Neeson's. How about that?
Oh man.
Okay, so we got.
I would have initially said Hugh Grant as well, but now I'm thinking about it.
All right. So Jeff's locked in with Hugh Grant's, and Sam's locked in with Liam Neeson's. Coming in at number five.
Oh boy.
I didn't even know this person was in Love Actually. Alicia Cuthbert.
What?
Oh.
I didn't know she's in it either.
Yeah, it must be a very brief appearance. It's like the credit was something like Beautiful Model or something like that, or American Model. Okay. Number four, Keira Knightley. Number three is Mr. Neeson's, Liam Neeson.
Oh! Oh, don't you dare put... Oh, my God, if Grant's number one, I'm going to be furious.
How do you feel about him being number two? Because Hugh Grant is number two.
All right. A little better, but not great. Oh my God.
And coming in at number one, Thomas Brody Sangster.
Is that the kid?
That's the goddamn kid.
Oh my God. Why is he number one?
Have you watched Queen's Gambit on Netflix?
Oh no, I have not. And that explains why I would not have guessed that.
He plays a chess player who wears like a cowboy hat and has a little mustache, and he still looks like a child.
Okay.
He's like in his 20s. He's like late 20s, I think now. And but he still looks like a little kid. All right, so that's Jeff's taking the lead with 4 points. Sam has three, but Sam has a strong opportunity here, because he gets to go first in the third and final round of Weird Algorithm. And it's a film I'm sure you know front to back, because I know you're a big fan of espionage.
Mm-hmm. Big, big fan.
Clear and Present Danger.
Oh. God damn it. It was a Clear and Present Danger. All right. I'm trying to run through all of the supporting cast, thinking if they're in my head, if there's anyone who had a teeny tiny role in that, who's now super huge star.
Well, I know one person in this movie is a shithead.
Yes, I thought about that too. I mean, I can think of a whole bunch of people from that movie who were probably, you know, I just can't think of anyone with anything like an HBO series or a movie coming out. So I'm going to go with Han Solo himself and just say Harrison Ford.
Okay. Jeff, what do you think?
My original plan was just to also say whoever Sam said, so I would win.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's a real easy way to play the game if you're ahead going into the last round.
But I also think, really do think it's going to be Harrison Ford. Like, there's no way it's Ann Archer.
Okay, but let me tell you who else I was thinking of. James Earl Jones, obviously in the movie, always a favorite. You've seen those ads on TV. James Earl Jones reads the Bible.
Right.
I'll put you to sleep. So I thought maybe people are checking Jimmy Jones out.
They see those commercials and they're like, I wonder who James Earl Jones is.
Yeah. Who else is in the movie? Like you said, Ann Archer is in it.
Isn't Thora Birch the daughter?
Yeah, Thora Birch plays the daughter. I mean, and she's great. You know, she was in American Beauty and everything, but I don't know what, if there's anything she's got going on lately.
Could it be Henry Zerny?
Well, he's in the new Mission Impossible, I think. So that's...
Oh, shit, he's back?
They reprising his role from the very first one?
Kittredge,
yeah, they're bringing
back
Kittredge from the very first movie. I remember reading that. I mean, I can't say 100% sure because I haven't seen the movie, but I remember reading that.
Sam, I have two things to say to that. Red light, green light.
Yes, you do. Just don't chew it.
I'm going to say hasta lasagna. Don't get any on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it because it's not the same answer. No, you know what? I'm sorry, Sam. I'm going to say Harrison Ford. I think it's Harrison Ford.
All right. Well, then in that case, obviously, I have to change my answer since if we have the same thing, no matter what, I lose. So, okay, Thora Birch.
She might be in the Queen's Gambit.
I'm sure she is. I'm sure she's the head of the face of some Netflix show that I don't know exists. So she's very popular right now. But we can't.
All you win.
I allow myself to say the same name. I can't win, so I have to change it. So Thora Birch, sure.
All you win in this game is going first in the next game. I don't know how important that is to either of you. But let's break this down. So wait, so you're, which one, Jeff is who?
I picked Harrison Ford and Sam picked Thora Birch.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. Let me just write something.
I can already hear Doug going down the list. Coming in at number 21,
Thora Birch. Number four is the just mentioned James Earl Jones.
All right.
Yeah. I think perhaps the only voice actor that's in both versions of The Lion King?
Yeah.
Possibly.
You know, because the first one they had Matthew Broderick, and the second one they're like, well, James Earl Jones' son should be black.
Yeah. It would help.
Coming in at number three, Willem Dafoe.
Oh, the classic shithead.
Yep. Number two is Harrison Ford.
Ah, there you go.
Because that's how this
game
works.
Who the hell is number one? Is it Ann Archer?
It could be Thora Birch.
Number one.
There's no way it's Thora Birch.
It is. It's Thora Birch.
No way! What? Are you kidding? You're fucking with me.
We're tied.
No way is it really Thora Birch. Seriously?
It really is. I don't manipulate these things for my own amusement.
That's amazing.
No, Birch is making a big comeback play.
What is she in right now?
Because she was so good as a little girl and then all the way through like Ghost World, and then she like kind of vanished. Like Hocus Pocus and American Beauty and Ghost World, those were her big credits. And don't they have a cliffhanger in one of the Harrison Ford Jack Ryan movies that his wife is pregnant? Isn't that, yeah. Don't they treat that like a cliffhanger?
Yes. No, that the sex of the baby.
The sex of the baby, yeah. Yeah, there's actual gender reveal in that fucking movie. But she was in Last Black Man in San Francisco, which I have not seen. But here's what really puts her over the top, fellas. She is a current cast member on The Walking Dead.
Oh, damn.
The biggest show on TV, I think. Maybe
from
maybe not anymore
yeah,
now
that's
that
correct.
Supermarket Sweep is back. All right, so there you go. We have a tie in that game, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which one of you goes first in the Leonard Maltin game. And we'll be back to play that right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, we're back and ready to play. It's what everybody's been waiting for, the OG Leonard Maltin game. And I call it that because have you seen this, Sam? There's a new Leonard Maltin game in town.
I have not.
It's called King of Movies, the Leonard Maltin game. He hasn't sent you one?
No.
Leonard Maltin, in cahoots with Mondo out of Austin, Texas, they've come up with a game where it's kind of like that game where you write down, dictionary definitions for a word nobody knows, and then everybody has to guess which one. What?
Mm-hmm. That's balderdash.
Oh, I thought you were attacking what I was talking about.
That's balderdash.
Nice setup, Doug.
What a bunch of hooey. it's like balderdash, but with Leonard Maltin reviews, which I was playing it in my head, going through reading some of the cards last night, and it's hard to write in his style and trick everybody into thinking that he wrote it.
Just all you have to do is write "suffers from overlength."
I know. I've made that same recommendation that he does. He does go to referencing that it's too long a lot of the time.
Flashy theatrics don't make up for a lackluster script, and it suffers from overlength. 2 stars.
Right, but then he also describes the plot a little bit, so that gets really hairy, because I think you just recognize when you read the one that's genuinely him, types of words he uses in describing a plot. You would definitely be one of the best players at this, Sam, so you should definitely get your hands on a copy and play against people and make them sad.
Okay, that's what I like doing, making people sad.
Yeah.
2020 is your year, buddy.
Winning is fun. So if you look up hashtag Maltin King of Movies, I think that can lead you in the right direction to finding how to buy it if anybody out there is interested. But we're going to play the Leonard Maltin game that we played for so many years on Doug Loves Movies until I got tired of having to explain it to the guests and them not look at me like they have no idea what I'm talking about. So anybody that's a newer listener, you're just going to have to, not unlike if you tuned into Jeopardy and had never seen it before, they don't take a second to tell you how the game works. They just play it and you figure it out yourself.
That's right. That's America.
Which is, I think all game shows should work that way. I don't think any of them, they should explain it, anything. It should just start playing. And then, you know, if you watch it 2 or 3 times, then you know how the game works. Mm-hmm. But Jeopardy is very special in that regard. Might not ever be copied. Who gets to go first?
Well, we were tied coming out of the last game.
Sam does, yeah, because Sam is still alphabetically first.
All right.
So, Sam, you get to choose between 3 categories. I won't tell you what the categories are until after you've chosen one.
Okay.
A, B, or C. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you the name of the category, and I won't tell you what the category is about. Okay. Would you like 4 non-bonds? What is a spoiler, Alex? or 3-2 Tango?
Wow. Well, in honor of the recently departed Alex Trebek, I will take what is a spoiler, Alex.
Excellent choice.
Thank you.
Those other ones will come back around if anybody else is interested in them. But for now, the category is what is a spoiler, Alex? These are movies that give away events in the film right in the title.
Oh, wow.
This one is from 1998. Leonard gives it 3.5 stars. He says this movie is trenchant and that it has a superb creative team. He also lists 18 names.
Oh my God.
How many names can you get it in, Sam Levine?
Oh my God. Trenchant, superb cast, 18 names. See, now because there's only three of us, or two of us, I have to make sure that I choose very carefully because there's no extra spoiler here, Doug. So I will say of the 18 names, let's go with 10.
Jeff Tate, Sam says he can get it in 10 names. You heard him as well. How many do you think it would take you to name this movie?
9.
Ooh, that's a clever, clever bid. Back to you, Sam.
8.
I like the way this is going.
Mm-hmm. This is how the game should work.
Let's see who blinks. Jeff?
'98. Superb creative team. 18 names, 3.5 stars.
I mean, if the game was repeat all that stuff back, you did very well.
I think I'm going to go.
It was trenchant.
Trenchant. Well, I didn't say that because I don't know what that word means.
It's what people yell in unison when they're inside of a trench. A trench all chant.
Right. I'm going to go -1.
What?
Yeah, I think 18 names is the biggest giveaway.
Wow, and you also like giving away things to your opponent who still hasn't bid.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Fuck, I forgot that part. Edit that out, Ryan.
But.
What did you just come up with that makes it so easy to. Trenchant 18 names. You want to go
maybe the year. Right,
I need to think about this for a minute here, Doug.
Yeah, I think maybe the year might have been like a real,
yeah, maybe a real not giveaway. Bring 1998 as well as I need to.
I'm terrible with years, so that would not have helped me probably.
Trenchant. Now you've got me thinking about the word trenchant.
I think if you said 1984, I think that would narrow down movies for me, but I think that's the only year I remember what movies I saw. You know, because it was an exciting year. I'd moved to Los Angeles, and so I was seeing movies at all the cool movie spaces in L.A. That was the year I met the cast of The Breakfast Club at a weird journalism roundtable.
Mm. They were all there?
Every goddamn one of them, because they were not, you know, only two of them were kind of famous at that point.
Mm.
So they were all very team John Hughes. They were very, you know, sort of like when Scott Pilgrim came out, the entire cast showed up for everything because they loved Edgar so much.
Jeff, I want to either thank you or curse you because making me think about the sheer amount of names definitely has made my head focus in on one particular movie. And I know you gave a bit of negative one, which is pretty damn perfect if this is in fact the movie. So I have to try to roll the dice and say negative two.
All right. That leaves me no choice but to say negative three.
Ooh.
What is happening? You guys are maniacs.
I was rolling the dice with two. Jeff Tate, name that movie.
All right.
I'm going to say the title of the movie is Saving Private Ryan.
That's what I was thinking of.
And I'm going to guess that the top three billed people are Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, and Tom Sizemore.
He would have been my number two.
Damn it.
What would you have done, Sam? You would have gone.
I said Hanks and Sizemore.
Who would be three?
Maybe probably Damon.
Well, you didn't need to be right about that to get a point. Point for Sam. Jeff is incorrect.
Shit. Oh. It's bringing out the dead, isn't it?
Now, I think that was 99.
The film is Saving Private Ryan. And he went Tom Hanks number one slot. Number two, Edward Burns.
Ah, what? God damn it.
Yeah. And then
he was kind of big in the 90s.
Yeah. And then he also kind of was one of the more forceful of the bunch of guys that went on the mission. But number three was Tom Sizemore. And then they go Jeremy Davies, Vin Diesel, Adam Goldberg, Barry Pepper, Giovanni Ribisi, then Matt Damon, because of course he doesn't have that big of a role in the film, Jeff.
I guess not.
Just a titular character. I think I looked this movie up in the last couple of months, and I think Leonard listed differently than it's listed on iTunes.
Yeah, probably. And Leonard put Ted Danson right in the middle there. He's in the.
Oh wow.
He's number. What is that? Like 10. All right.
Hey Doug, how many points are we playing to?
2 points. This is
Wow. Oh yeah. Wow.
This is like you got to hit the ground running, and you both did. That was spectacular gameplay. And with two players, should we have the person who just lost the point pick the next category, or the person who won? What would be the proper protocol?
Oh, I think to keep it fair, the person who did not win should get to pick the next category.
Okay. All right. So, Jeff, you get to pick the next category.
Okay.
Here are your options. You got four non-bonds or the aforementioned 3-2 tango or bros before high hoes.
Man. I'm going to take four non-bonds.
I'm glad you did, because this is another tribute category. These are movies starring either Daniel Craig, Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore, or Sean Connery that are not James Bond movies.
Narrows it right down.
Those four have been in a lot of films. That is right. But there's also been a lot of films where the title reveals what happens, and you didn't whine about that one.
No, I did not. I was just saying this covers a lot of movies.
It's a lot of movies.
It's prolific.
This category was suggested by Digi Family Memes on Twitter, or maybe Instagram. I don't know which one. And Leonard is talking about a movie from 1996. He gives it 2 stars. He says that this movie is a yarn and that it has story holes. And he lists 14 names.
14 names, 1996, 4 non-bonds. I like repeating stuff.
And of course, I should just say, just to be clear, that Sean Connery passed away this week, and Roger Moore was a while back, and the other 2 Bonds are still living at the current time.
Okay, I'm going to say 14 names.
And apologies for leaving out George Lazenby, but come on, who can name any other movie he was in besides the James Bond movie?
What about the Timothy Dalton?
I like Timothy Dalton in other movies, but his Bond movies are up there as my least favorite ones. How many did you say, Jeff?
I said all the names.
You're taking all the names, 14 names. Okay. What do you think, Sam?
Movie, 14 names, 1996. I hate to ask, Doug, can I get those clues again?
Of course.
Thank you, sir. Because I, yeah.
2 stars from Leonard. Not impressed. Uh-huh.
Not impressed. Did not like it. Okay, I misread that the first time.
I mean, two could mean fair, you know, like not, you know. He calls it a yarn, and he says it has story holes. Plenty of them.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it's 1996 with 14 performers in speaking roles.
Doug, I am going to say -3 names.
Well, this seems very uncool.
I'm going to say -4.
Oh!
Wow. So you go from 4. What are you doing over there, man?
I'm fucking with you.
That was some sneaky play, Jeff, if you had an idea what it was when you said 14 names.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
I'd be guessing for the fourth, so to go 5 is just crazy. Oh, man. All right, Jeff Tate, name that movie.
All right, so you got to name the movie. And then, of course, for anybody who's not familiar, the negative bid means he's got to name the top 4 people in the correct order from first build down to fourth, according to the listing in Leonard Maltin's book, which does not always match up with anything else. It's Leonard's choice.
As we see from the last one, it doesn't match up with whatever I think it is.
Yeah, so this is a ballsy play, Jeff.
All right, I'm going to go.
What's the movie?
The Rock, Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, Ed Harris. Oh, man, if you guys could hear my heart beating.
There's a lot to choose from.
I'm going to say my favorite doomed soldier, Michael Biehn.
If I had to go -4, that's what I would have done, but I didn't trust the Biehn. There's so many other characters.
Oh, man, can you guys hear it? Thump, thump.
Jeff, that is correct.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Who's number 5? If I gunned to my head, I probably would have said John Spencer.
Yeah, I would have said William Forsythe.
Yeah, Forsythe ended up being 5th, and 6th is David Morse, and then 7 is John Spencer.
Wow.
Six, John C. McGinley, and then it just goes off the rails from there.
Anthony Clark is 14?
He's 13.
Oh, damn. So yeah, Vanessa
Claire Forlani got the coveted 14 spot.
Wow.
As Nicolas Cage's daughter.
What point in the game did that come to you, Jeff, or were you just playing strategy?
I mean, I thought when he said 1996, two stars, I was like, well, Leonard never really likes the movies I love.
Oh.
So it's probably The Rock.
Got it.
And I knew that was 96 because it was the last movie I got, I was ID'd for.
Oh, wow.
All right. Okay, so that means you each have a point. Sam gets to go first. This is the one. Whoever prevails in this one will be our winner today and get to walk around saying that they're the best Leonard Maltin game player.
Wow.
And then somebody will go, you mean King of Movies, the Leonard Maltin game? And you go, no!
Oh, man.
OG, the OG Leonard Maltin game.
They gave me a very nice shout out in the instructions booklet. Here are your three categories, Sam. Okay. The aforementioned Bros Before High Hoes.
Mm-hmm.
Also the aforementioned 3-2 Tango. Or Doug Loves This Movie.
Oh, wow. Well, that seems very vague and specific and probably more likely to be in Jeff's wheelhouse since you talk movies with him on the internets every day. So let's go with 3-2 Tango.
All right. This one, I love this one because it's a category where no one's going to have any idea. Well, you'll have some ideas, but
okay. It's
not that helpful as far as categories go.
Sure.
3-2 Tango. The 3-2 Tango is movies that Leonard gives 2.5 stars.
Perfect.
The year is 2012. Leonard gives it 2.5 stars. He says that this movie is twist laden and that it's a bit like Bourne Light, like the Bourne movies. Ooh. And then he names 12 names. How many can you get it in, Sam Levine? Just say a number.
I'm trying to think in my head if I have any idea. 12 means.
Zero is also a fun bid.
Sure. I'll say 12 names.
All right, Jeff, he's luring you into his trap. He says 12 names.
Man, are you just copying me, Sam? You copying my strategy?
Maybe.
Oh, man, my heart's still beating over Michael Biehn.
Mm-hmm. It should.
He's a heartthrob.
All right, I'm going to say 11 names.
All right, Sam.
Solid bid, bro. I will say 10 names.
You know what? What the hell? 9.
Oh, wow, dude.
Yeah, what the hell didn't sound like you were going to say 9.
I know.
Well, I guess I should just go for it. 9? You only live once. 9.
Doug, I hate to ask. May I hear the clues again?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the category name is giving me just nothing.
Well, it's...
Or not the name, but...
2.5 stars from Leonard.
Okay.
2012 is the year. It's twist laden and a bit like Born Light. Hmm. How many Born movies can you name, Jeff?
Well, I guess there was one from the 80s and then all of these other ones. So six.
What was the one in the 80s?
I think there's two movies called The Bourne Identity.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
It might be a mini series.
Yeah.
So let me change it to five.
And what was the last one called? What's the most ridiculous title of them all?
Jason Bourne.
Oh, right. But there's also, there's Ultimatum. There's Platinum.
There's the Bourne.
And there's Antebellum.
Yeah, Bourne Antebellum. the Bourne.
They changed Sorcerer. That one to Bourne A.
There's Bourne Yesterday.
Oh, yeah. There was Born to be Wild.
Yeah. Born in East L.A. That's my favorite one. Fish out of water.
Somebody needs to make that. Born in East L.A. would be amazing. Where are we at? Whose turn is it?
It's on me, and I'm racking my brain. You said nine names, Jeff?
Yeah, correct. We're down to nine.
All right, I'll say eight names.
Man. I think I got a guess.
You have a guess of what movie it is?
Yeah.
Well, then you probably wouldn't need too many names, but also if it's just a guess, you might want to hear something.
Yeah, let's take it down to five names.
Sam?
Yeah. You know, God damn it. I feel like if I say four, it's not going to help me. And I have a guess. My confidence level in this guess is not high. But if I say four, I don't know. I guess I'm going to... Hey, negative two. It's either right or it's not. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you could have told us four or three or two or one or zero or negative one.
At that point, I'm guessing. At that point, I'm basically guessing. I don't know the movie well enough to know the bottom two people.
Man, so either Sam knows this and I lose, or I go negative three and I might win or I lose. But Sam also might not know this. Those are the four options.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, butt in or anything, but when does Sam ever not know it?
I've absolutely not known it a whole bunch.
You've gone negative and had the wrong movie?
Yes, I missed up bad when we were playing with John Hamm and Matt Bronger. I thought Hancock came out in 2004.
Oh man, I bet you felt that's real stupid.
That is so goddamn dumb. What a dummy. So
stupid. I'm not even sure about the year on this movie, for the record. I'm not even certain.
Right. Well, the lady doth protest too much.
I'm just saying.
All right, Sam. I've played with you enough, man. Negative three. I'm gonna win or lose on my own guess.
Oh, God. Oh, but damn. Sam might go negative more.
Clearly, maybe I'm going to have to. Now I got to really dig deep on this stupid movie, which I saw one time. Negative three.
Boy, the listeners are probably losing their minds.
Oh, fucking Jeff. -5. Okay, fine. There it is.
-5?
Yeah, -5.
okay, name it.
This is so stupid. God damn
it. Turn your camera on, Sam. I want to see you sitting there with the Leonard Maltin book.
I'd like to see if we can see your face around your huge balls.
My Leonard Maltin book from 1995 that I dug out of storage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess this information's on the internet now, but maybe not. Is there a place to access his old reviews without buying a book?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So
and if you'd like me to turn on my camera, I'm always happy.
No, I'm just kidding. So you got to go -5.
There's no way I'm right about this.
I mean, tell us
the
what
movie's
movie
probably not even right, which is going to be the greatest part. I'm going to go -5 correctly on the wrong movie.
Well, that'll still be fun for us, for all of us.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
The movie is Safe House. I'm waiting for laughter. All right. Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds. I think it's Vera Farmiga. And then Brendan Gleeson and Sam Shepard is the only other person I can remember from that movie.
You don't remember that Ruben Blades was in that movie?
No.
You don't remember Joel Kinnaman?
I do not.
You don't remember Robert Patrick or Tracy Toms?
Oh, I do
Toms?
Remember Robert Patrick now, yeah.
Yeah, and Tracy Toms was in it too.
Yeah.
But the five that you said are correct.
Oh, what? My God. Oh, my God. Turn your fucking camera on, Sam. I'm coming to you. I'm looking in your room. I'm going to find this goddamn book.
Here. Let's see it, Man. Sam.
All right, I'm coming. It's coming. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, nope. SparkoCam. Please activate SparkoCam. That's the thing I feed everything through. Hang on. Video.
Man, I mean,
you could have gotten rid of anything at that
point. Yeah, I threw it out the window.
Yeah, there's a giant green window behind you.
What's up, Sam? Is that a Cubs shirt?
Of course it's a Cubs shirt.
Of course it's a Cubs shirt.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Sam. You did it.
Thank you very much.
You won the title of, we can't call you the king of movies because that's Leonard's game, but... you are the king of the OG Leonard Maltin game.
Did you know it was Safe House, Jeff?
No, I was going to guess the Bourne Legacy.
Bourne Legacy. I thought it was Bourne Legacy too, but I was like, I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't have given that even 2.5 stars. I feel like Leonard probably would have given that like 1 star because he didn't even like the Bourne movies.
That's a good point.
That was the only reason. So I was trying to think of like what other action-y heavy movies were that year, and I did see Safe House, and I remember it, you know, it kind of felt like a Bourne movie, I guess, if you're Leonard Maltin, and then I saw it the one time.
It was that one, Bourne Legacy, or American Ultra.
He says...
2012?
Leonard says Leonard says that this movie has a surplus of chase scenes, so that's always a turnoff for Leonard. But he says the 2 stars are charismatic, but then in the end he says it's entertainment by bludgeon.
That's how course, I like it.
Of course, no one is safe. No one is house. thanks for playing, guys. Do you have anything to plug, Sam?
Yeah, Immortal. Still on VOD. Check it out. It's a horror anthology of movies centering on immortality. And I'm in one of them. Watch the movie to find out which.
Oh.
It's the last one.
Skip ahead.
Want to fast forward, yeah. what do you got to plug, Jeff?
The Tuesday before this is like a half a plug. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, me and Trey Gallion are doing stand-up outside in Knoxville, Tennessee at a food truck court. There's like a lot with like 4 or 6 food trucks, and we're going to be in the middle of those outside. So wear your jacket. Oh. Come watch us do stand-up.
I thought it was like food truck court. Like this taco truck overrules this smoothie truck. I am.
What did you?
Says the fish truck.
Where do people go to get tickets, Jeff?
You just get tickets there. Like, we're just trying to do.
What do you mean there? You just said it's going to be in a parking lot with food trucks.
Yeah, yeah. Just come to the show. It's across the street from Central Collective. There isn't really like a name from it. Like, if you're in Knoxville, just follow me or Trey on Twitter.
What's Central Collective?
It's a coffee shop in Knoxville.
Okay. So people can figure it out from there. Just come to the street from that.
I know it's kind of vague, but I'm under the impression that people in Knoxville know already what I'm talking about.
Right, but what if somebody's coming in from out of town?
Do a little research.
Figure out where this vague show is. They'll probably end up in Vegas.
Yeah.
What is the last line in White Men Can't Jump? Does anybody know what they say at the end?
I mean, they're talking to each other as they're walking down down the street after Gloria left him.
Doesn't it switch to the singers? It opens on the singers and it closes on the singers.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about spoken dialogue? Like, what do you think? I think they don't they decide to play one-on-one just for fun?
I mean, it seems like they never did anything just for fun. They probably
no. They're friends at the end, Jeff. Don't make me mansplain this to you. They're friends at the end, and they play. The movie ends by them starting to play one-on-one together.
I bet their last conversation is about whether or not they listen to or hear Jimi Hendrix.
So, what do you think? I need a last line to say. From either White Men Can't Jump or another movie. Do either of you have a favorite last line from a movie?
That house wasn't safe at all.
Let's go with Groundhog Day. Will Rent to start.
What is it?
He says, "Let's live here," to Andy McDowell as he pulls her over the fence. And then he takes a beat and he says, "We'll rent to start."
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. We'll rent to start. I don't have anything to plug. Thank you to everybody who came to my show yesterday, and I'll have more stuff coming up. You can join the Getting Doug with High Patreon at patreon.com/gettingdoug. It's $4.20 a month to watch all of our content that we create from a show that's not on YouTube anymore. So please stop asking me about that. It's over on Patreon exclusively. And I apologize for saying stop asking me about it, because I don't think anybody listens to Doug Loves Movies has been bothering me about it. What else? I think that's it. You know, follow all the socials. Oh, follow Doug Loves Movies on Twitter for all the latest news about Doug Loves Movies. And thanks again to Sam and Jeff. You guys, can we schedule a rematch sometime soon?
Absolutely.
I'm coming for you, always.
Sam. Yeah, that was exciting. I was, you know, I'm always hoping that Jeff's going to pull it off, but Sam is keeping the title for now. And as always, we'll rent to start.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room